Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. Babel and his fall. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." And thus they founded Babel. What's going on here? Let's look first at what we learn of man here. Man in the fall, after the flood. Well, what's going on here is this: nothing less than rebellion against God. Chapter 9, verse 1, the Lord had commanded man to spread throughout the whole earth. "No," says man, verse 4, "we're not going to be scattered. We're going to settle. We're going to stay here." In effect, they're saying, "God may command us to do this, we're going to do the opposite. We'll do what we want." Babel stands for rebellion against God. And there's ambition here. Verse 4. "We'll build ourselves a city. We'll make a tower reaching up into the sky. And the purpose of it, so that we make a name for ourselves and not be scattered." We'll rebel against God. That's what they're saying. In effect, although they wouldn't perhaps voice it like that, they may have done so. But they want to make a name for themselves. Ambition, boasting, bragging. Remember Hitler in the 1930s. "We founded the Third Reich for 1,000 years. That was their ambition, to make a name for himself and to build a lasting kingdom. Within about a decade, it was in utter ruins, literally speaking, crashing about his ears. Babel shows man's rebellion against God and man's ambition for himself. And self is the word. They built. They planned. It was their purpose. Look at verse 4. "Come, let us build ourselves a city, so that we may make a name." There's their purpose, their plan. Verse 6. The people were speaking the same language. They'd begun to do this. Nothing they plan. You see their purpose, their plan. There's discussion. There's schemes, their confederacy. There's combination here. This is Babel all over. And they encourage each other. Verse 3, "Come, let us build." Then they said to one another, "Come, let us build. Come, let's make bricks," and so on. Mutual encouragement. There's union here. There's confederacy. Babylon stands for pride, making a name for man. Man is the great king of Babylon. Man wants to be remembered. I think many politicians are doing their work in keeping their journals and their diaries and publishing their memoirs so that they'll be known in history. They want to be a footnote in history, and more than a footnote. They want to publish their record and make an empire for themselves, empire builders. And of course, it goes on right down through the chain of society. I've known in school teaching, empire building. I knew a deputy head who made an empire out of the smallest things. Some can make an empire out of collecting the tea money. Anything and everything to become a Babylon. Men want to write their own history. In fact, Churchill was open about it. His history of the Second World War really is largely a self-justification. It's not truly a history at all. In fact, he said about it, about his own history, about his own record. He said, "History will be kind to me." Why? Because I shall write it myself. The victors write the history. And this is Babylon all over. Pride, name, man, plan, purpose, thwart God, defeat God, rebel against God, go the way of self, and get glory for self, for man, man, man. But this chapter tells us about God. He knows, verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. And the Lord said, he acts, and he thwarts, and he disabuses man. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us, the triune God speaking here, go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them. The Lord will have the victory. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Psalm 2. I've just been reading the book of Nahum. The book of Nahum is about Assyria and Nineveh, the fall of this great nation and its capital. And all these principles here, man rebelling against God, a name for itself. But God brings it down. God thwarts it and scatters it and gets his way. Because God had said in chapter 9, verse 1, spread throughout the earth. Man has said no. But we read in this passage in verse 9, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And he called the place Babel, confusion. That's how God does it. He confuses man. But Babel, Babylon, stands for man in his pride, but thwarted by God. God writes the real history. Churchill may say and boast he will write his own history, but the real history, the only history that counts, and this is true in church history, national histories, political histories, whatever, is the history God writes. This is idolatry. This is rebellion. And God hates it and thwarts it. I quoted the book of Nahum, but you'll find it right throughout Judah and Israel's history. And John talks in his letter, the last verse, I think, little children, keep yourselves from idols. You see, Babylon is not just in Genesis 11, 1 to 9. Oh no, right through in the book of Revelation, Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon is still with us. Babylon is always with us. Not just the little place in the Middle East, but the principle of Babylon. The confusion that God pours out upon Babylon is still with us. Read the book of Revelation and see how the saints rejoice. Heaven rejoices when Babylon the Great is fallen, that great whore, the great prostitute. And that's the principle. Look at Israel's history. Idolatry is likened so often and linked with prostitution. No wonder we are told to come out of Babylon. 2 Corinthians 6, for example. Not to be yoked with Babylon and tied in with these confederacies. What is Babylon? Is the Roman Catholic Church Babylon? Some see it. Well, I can see it there. But Christendom is Babylon. Denominationalism is Babylon. Confederacy is Babylon. Where is the confederacy for the churches in the New Testament? We're united in Christ by the Spirit. Denominationalism, Babylonianism, has nothing to do with the gospel. The great whore falls in Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the same. I have no doubt why Satan pours his scorn upon these first 11 chapters of Genesis. He doesn't like to see his kingdom, and it is his kingdom, Babylon, being mocked and exposed. But God does expose it. And all who are in Babylon will see that exposure and feel it. Come out from among them, my people, says God, and touch not the unclean thing. Let us, brother and sister, have done with all Babylonian principles. May we obey God, humbly wait for our God. As Paul said, I don't write my own history, I don't take account of myself. God only knows that, he says, and I leave it to him. May we have that kind of spirit, trusting God, obedient to God, submitting to God, not a name for ourselves, but exalting the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, not building our own way out, but relying upon God and all his grace and mercy, his spirit and his power. May we have the opposite spirit to Babylon, for Babylon is the great whore. It starts here. It's still with us, but Babylon the Great will fall, and God shall be triumphant. Come out from among them, my people, and touch not the unclean thing.